Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're living in a Steelers nightmare right now. I thought I'd get up this morning and the feelings, the seething, the raw kind of anger that I had would have dissipated and gone away a little bit. It actually has gotten worse. Like, oh, just sleep on it. You'll feel... No, that's... that. Well, wasn't there other thing where if you go to bed angry, yeah, you get divorced?
Yeah, it's in a marriage, never go to bed angry. I think that was coined by the makeup sex industry. But... yeah,
I wasn't interested in having makeup sex with anybody related to the Steelers last night.
Now that's
plus, I'm married.
That's a hell of a statement.
Chris, where do I start with last night's game? The head coach is overrated. The defense is overpaid.
Also overrated.
The offensive coordinator sucks. The starting quarterback stinks.
The wide receivers aren't as good as they think they are.
That's
that about the long and short of it?
That's where I'm at right now.
Well, here, can I maybe deliver the first body blow then? What would you say I have been in our 4+ years together? An ardent defender of Mike Tomlin more often than not? Like, whenever you've come for him or callers have, I usually try to throw a little cold water on it. This is the worst. I think Starkey said this, and I echo it. This is the worst he's looked in his time as Steelers head coach. This is the worst he personally has looked, and he is culpable for so much of this. The man wanted Mitch Trubisky, my veteran mobile quarterback. Then he put him in handcuffs. This all, of course, betrayed the fact that Mitch Trubisky isn't very good, and anybody who had any passing familiarity with him knew this. Mike Tomlin was going to win with defense, was going to have my guys be better than your guys. Not only does he lose to Belichick like he always does, he goes out last night, and his team really gets sunned by the Cleveland Browns. That was dad playing against his kids. The kids are hanging off of Nick Chubb's legs, but they can't really tackle him. I mean, Mike Tomlin did his usual defiant spiel when Brooke Pryor asked the only question that mattered after that game: are you considering changing your offensive coordinator or your quarterback? And he got real defiant and said, definitively no. Why not, Mike? Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and getting the same result over and over again. I think of boxing a lot when I think of football, two physical, tough guy sports. The Steelers in the first half were like a boxer that landed a couple of big punches and was very proud of themselves. The Browns were like a team that just worked the body all game and knocked the Steelers out and took their will. This is a franchise that has defined itself over the years by taking the will of the opposition late in football games. It goes from Chuck Knoll to Bill Cowher to even Tomlin. There's a through line there. They got their souls taken out of their bodies last night by Nick Chubb and Jacoby Brissett. This isn't Tom Brady and the Patriots. This is a really good running back and a probably bottom six quarterback right now in the league, and they got their souls snatched.
The Chubb part doesn't bother me as much as Brissett looked great. You made their tight end look like Rob Gronkowski, and you turned their wide receiver into Jerry Rice last night. Those are the three parts of it. Chubb's going to have great games. He's one of the best running backs in the NFL, and they have an awesome line.
I thought your defensive front was supposed to be able to stand up to them a little bit, even without Watt. You've got Ogunjobi. Yeah. You've got Hayward. You've got a healthy Aluwalu. Hell, I'm the idiot that was saying this.
And you've got Brian Flores, and you've got Terrell Austin, so you think you have three masterminds on defense. Chris, he doesn't give them a competitive advantage on game day. We can try to get by that by saying other coaches commit the same mistakes. Other coaches biff situations, other coaches screw up. All of that is true. But that's still whataboutism when it comes to a guy that is, you know, one of the longest tenured coaches now in the NFL and gets talked about like he's better than just about everybody but a handful of guys. Go through not just the schematics and philosophy of the game, go through some of the in-game decisions Tomlin made last night.
Starting
with a field goal where you've got the wind going like crazy, and it's fourth and short, and he sends Boswell out there to make a long kick.
And your offense had actually looked somewhat passable at first there. The give-up white flag punt.
Hold on, before you even get to that, because that is a good one. That's a really good one. But before you even get to that wimpy-ass punt with 5 minutes left, down, what, nine?
Yep, two-score game.
Before you even get to that, it got so bad, and I don't think that this lets Trubisky off the hook at all. We'll get to him in a second. There are no sacred cows on Pony and Mueller today. No one's going to get a free pass, and we want you to get in on it too at 412-928-9370. But even at the end of the first half, listen to what Trubisky said after the game about why the Steelers didn't get points, and instead of having a 14-13 lead, why they weren't up 17-13 or even 21-13.
Yeah, some of those situations, you try not to, if you don't have what I think is like going to be a completion, then it's more of a throwaway. Not trying to protect the football, not trying to give them a short field. We like to have a couple more timeouts before the half so we could use the whole field.
His coach blew two timeouts.
On like personnel problems.
On defense.
Yeah, I know. Not having the right groupings in there. Ray Fittipaldo did a great job breaking it down. He wasted two timeouts because of that.
And again, like Trubisky's making errant throws and then trying to excuse them as, well, they're throwaways. I actually meant to do that. But he had no issue throwing in there, well, we were down to one timeout and we were in Cleveland territory and there were only a few seconds left because my coach wasted timeouts earlier in the game.
I was going to say he threw a strike there with that
comment.
A quarterback
that has been here for 15 minutes, who's never won a friggin' playoff game,
who's not
feels
good.
Comfortable saying that a future Hall of Fame coach just decided to throw away timeouts in that game.
Thank you for pulling your punch there.
Thank
I
you.
Know it was coming.
The punt, you hit on
the
it.
The punt's cowardly. I asked people, like, what is the rationale there? He's going to talk Tuesday. He's going to have his normal week. I really hope nobody has let it slide long enough.
He won't say anything about it, though, Chris.
He'll say, well, I wanted to give our defense the ball back, blah, blah, blah. You know what's, like, the lost part of this all, though? Like, whatever explanation he would give, you don't trust your offense to get 3 yards when the other team is almost begging you to just take them.
And fourth and inches at the end of the game, he kicked the field goal.
I know.
Fourth and inches.
I follow this thing that's an automated, like, program, basically. Somebody made a bot. Should you go for it on fourth down? Like, what's the optimal math-based decision? He made the wrong ones again last night.
He's got more finger-pointing going on than I've ever seen where players call out coaches and coaches put it back on players, and it's not like one rumor or one reporter tells us that. We hear it now after every game or during the week between games. He employs Matt Canada, who sucks.
Like, they couldn't handle success yesterday, the brief times that they had it, and they ended up going back to some of the same dumb stuff that they've run. That second half was an embarrassment. I told you, man, I started the show with this, and I'll keep saying it, so I'll stay nice and consistent. I've defended the dude chapter and verse over the years, said he's gotten way too much blame and not enough credit for things, and that other people have skated on blame. Mike Tomlin made this mess, and he doesn't seem capable of cleaning it.
I just think you come off as very arrogant and conceited and full of yourself when you think you can turn trash into treasure. And they have done that with their offensive coordinator and the quarterback that they've started to begin the season. No one wanted this offensive coordinator for an NFL coordinator's job. Maybe as an offensive assistant, maybe as somebody who worked with quarterbacks, maybe as a quality control coach, but definitely not as a play caller. And the entire league told you last year that Trubisky wasn't a starting quarterback. He signed as a backup. And then again,
Tomlin paid him like a backup when they signed him. He and Omar Khan gave him backup money, yep. or Kevin Colbert was still in the job. They gave Mitch Trubisky money that suggested you are a backup, you are a placeholder. He is now treating him like he is an entrenched starter just trying to work out some kinks.
And I think it's really sad. It's really an all-time low when I've got to hear and see Steelers media and Steelers fans tell me last night and again today, Trubisky wasn't that bad. Oh, so that's now. That's
come on,
okay.
Our expectations are so pathetic.
You score an incompletion down the field on the first drive, gets applauded. We're now congratulating and giving a quarterback a pat on the back because he threw it downfield and missed a guy?
Hey, Mitch, great try.
I actually read somewhere that Trubisky was victimized by his receivers. Now, they did not bathe themselves in glory at the end of the game, and Johnson should have caught that ball on 3rd-and-3. But he was also bailed out by one of the most spectacular receivers catches we've ever seen a receiver make. So it kind of evened itself out there. Wide receivers made great plays. Wide receivers also dropped the ball. You're a starting quarterback in the NFL. You overcome that, Chris. He had no excuse. There was a run game last night. For the first time in a while, they ran the ball effectively. The offensive line actually blocked for him. Myles Garrett didn't wreck the game plan. They didn't have one guy who completely blew everything up like Aaron Donald or TJ Watt would. And then Browns defensive players started dropping like flies. Especially inside linebackers.
Especially all over the field guys, middle of the field guys.
And you wait until the fourth quarter and the game's almost over to start throwing the ball over the
you
middle
know what?
To Freiermuth with 9 minutes left?
Yeah, that pissed me off almost more than anything, believe it or not, because I would give Trubisky a pass for some of the throws he made that were dropped. But you point out Pickens makes a great catch. There were a couple other really top-notch catches too. Now, granted, the Browns are playing prevent, yes. But it's obvious that the mentality changed and they just said, screw it, we've got to open things up. Let's let him cut it loose down the middle of the field. Again, where is that early in the game? Why are you not trying that early in the game? I don't get it. Mitch Trubisky, though, feels like you're talking about the symptom and not the root cause here. Mike Tomlin made this mess, and Mike Tomlin doesn't seem willing to clean it up or even think something needs to be cleaned up.
All very true. But I think we saw enough last night that when Trubisky isn't completely in the don't turn it over mode and has some things going for him that allow him to make plays on his own, he still is incapable of doing it enough to win. Maybe as a backup that goes into an ideal situation like Jacoby Brissett, where you have an awesome offensive line and great running backs, you can win if you're Mitch Trubisky in that kind of offense for a brief set amount of time. But not in this scenario.
I think Brissett's a better player objectively than Trubisky.
He looked like it last night.
I would have told
against
you.
Against a supposed better defense.
I would have told you, you give me a choice between the two of them, not knowing what my team's going to be around them, I would have taken Brissett. As crazy as that sounds, because he's been underwhelming most of the time. Trubisky's athleticism seduces some people I know. He's not good, and he's never going to be good. At what point? We're doing the same thing we mocked people in Chicago for, or people for doing. I'm talking not you and me. I'm talking about Steelers fans. We all said, oh, come on. Chicago can't have screwed him up this badly. Take some accountability. But now people are making the same excuses for
him. Well, just how many times can you say about a quarterback, it's not me, it's you? It's not Mitch Trubisky, it's the Chicago coaches. It's not Mitch Trubisky, it's the Steelers coaches. Well, when it happens a couple times, it is on you. You make offensive coordinators look bad, and you make offenses overall look bad because you're not very good.
Yeah, it's the old saying, if you meet a jackass in the morning, you met a jackass. If you meet a jackass morning, noon, and night, you're the jackass.
Yeah, and as far as the defense goes, look, we know they're playing shorthanded. We know Watt is out. We know the offense in the second half especially was going 3-and-out late in the game, and by the late in the fourth quarter, they were pretty much spent, just like against New England. But here's one thing where they deserve to get absolutely roasted today by people like you and me and our very intelligent, very knowledgeable listeners. The Steelers had the ball at the end of the first half. The Steelers then possessed the ball for a big chunk of the third quarter and had to punt in Cleveland territory,
mm-hmm.
where they had the Chooks questionable play, and then he looked like he went out of his way to injure a guy.
Yep.
And then
Ultimate Warrior splash.
The Johnson miss, the Johnson drop.
Yep.
That gave the defense, in my opinion, with halftime in the middle of that, all kinds of time to catch its breath. At the end of the game, the possession numbers look ugly, but at that point, you should have a fresh defense.
They hadn't been on the field in real time for like 25 minutes at that point, maybe 30.
And you're playing against a backup quarterback, and you're playing with a lead. So,
and I'm going to tell you what happened, Pony.
Long drive with a field goal, and then long touchdown drive after the
Steelers
went
3-and-out. Chubb 1 yard, 28, 12, 9, 5, 8, 2, 9, 3, 6.
14 plays and 11 plays.
It's just
two long drives.
Just slapping them around.
Gutting drives.
Just slapping them around.
$108 million defense. I know your best player is out, but
you're allowed to make plays without him. You've got Devin Bush as a first-rounder. Cam Hayward's a first-rounder. Tyson Alualu's a first-rounder. You want me to keep going? Mika Fitzpatrick's a first-rounder.
It looked like last year.
Terrell Edmonds is a first-rounder.
Mika Fitzpatrick isn't a ball hawk and a playmaker because he's your last line of defense. Started early in the game when he
had to make
an ankle tackle on Chubb. You're right.
A touchdown on the second play of the game. You think Cam Sutton was going to go up from behind Nick Chubb and catch him? See what happened to Malik Reed, a much bigger man, when he
tried to
tackle
him? Malik Reed did nothing in that game. I was very disappointed in him. Akello Witherspoon, go back on Terrell Owens' podcast and tell him how you're a top five corner again. Shut the hell up.
Akello Witherspoon, what are we talking about?
They should have brought Joe Hayden out of retirement by the end of the game to play for the Steelers, not the Browns. Did he ever make an appearance on the field in the Browns?
He wouldn't have wanted to.
Elf regalia, did he actually lead them on the field?
I don't know.
I didn't see him last
night. Did you see Akello Witherspoon, though, do the old, hey, Nick Chubb train coming downhill. I think I'll get away from this thing. You're supposed to be able to tackle when you're a Steelers cornerback.
He's a bigger corner, too.
I know. You know the play I'm talking about.
Of course.
Chubb runs right by him and runs right through a half-hearted arm tackle because he didn't want to get in the way of the freight
train. And then
train.
Edmonds and Miles Jack and Devin Bush, come on.
Hey, I liked Edmonds' strategy against Amari Cooper of basically backpedaling into the end zone so that Amari Cooper could catch it and run it in.
You can't turn David Njoku into the best tight end we've ever seen. Come on.
Didn't they franchise tag Njoku this
year? Be better
year?
Than that. Yep.
I laughed when they did that because I thought this guy's such like a weirdly disappointing player. Why do that?
I thought they signed him to like a pretty,
they might have,
pretty good deal.
They might have after that. But Devin Bush, I remember watching one play where he actually was glued to Njoku and they looked away from him. And it stood out to me because it was the exception and not the rule from yesterday.
The bottom line is they don't have a history, a culture of winning now. Where when we have what looks like a team in a state of chaos, where offensive players, bad body English at the end of the game, calling out coaches again, you'll hear that audio, Trubisky sending little digs back at the coaches and other people, deflecting blame. Their offense, another first quarter without a touchdown. Their offense, nothing in the second half, diddly poo.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Canada under fire. All of these things, they don't get the benefit of, hey, it's still early, relax, they'll figure it out, they got more time here, you trust Mike Tomlin to make the right decisions. They don't get that. When you've gone 6 years without winning a playoff game, and in big spots, we've seen you get blown out year after year, they don't get that anymore, Chris.
Are they definitely going to be favored against the Jets?
Yeah, well, right now they're a 3.5-point favorite, but if the Jets beat the Bengals, it's probably not a guarantee.
So if that happens, and I know some people think because of who picked who, the Jets might actually beat the Bengals, they might not be favored for 2 months.
Well, I also think they're entering into uncharted waters in, at least since I've been here. It has a chance next Sunday against the Jets. I don't expect them to get a warm reception from Steelers fans whatsoever. If Canada's still up there in the play-calling booth, if Trubisky's the starting quarterback, if everything pretty much looks the same, and that's what Tomlin said after the game.
Oh, not only did Tomlin say it, I want to point out, Tomlin said it like, how dare you ask me
that? Yeah, he browbeat the reporter who asked the question.
I had our buddy Sean and Cecil tweet me and say, like, and he had the audacity to cop an attitude at the idea that that question would be asked. That's the whole problem right now. That guy has been unbelievably successful, and he thinks he apparently is a beyond reproach. His decisions suck. They've built a team that's massively flawed. There is no get-out-of-jail-free card here. They might well be 1-7 through 8 games. And then what? And might be several embarrassing losses peppered in there. You think the Bills are going to go easy on them after the way they beat the Bills last year? You don't think Mike McDaniel wants to clown his third big high-profile head coach this year?
How about the team on the other side of
you
the state?
You don't think Jalen Hurts is licking his chops watching Nick Chubb basically do squats through the middle of that defense? Come on. This sucks, man. I hate it.
412-928-9370. We got to get you in. I've been dying all day to hear from Steelers fans. I want to give them an outlet to weigh in on what we're talking about. Maybe you echo some of our sentiments. You want to throw some extra stuff in. You want to put your own unique spin on what happened last night. That's why we're here. We will be here. We will eat it until 5:30. We will wear this one. Bring it on. Let's hear it.
We'll be your Kevlar, if
you will.
I mean,
we just... like the, to me, I want to be able to do a public service for people today, and I think that's the best approach. Like, Steelers fans deserve a place to just get that out of their system. Donnie, you are not in a great place.
No, I'm not thrilled. But I also, I don't want to hear any more complaints about the offensive line. The best unit on the field last night for the Steelers, without question, was Dan Moore, Kevin Dotson, Mason Cole, Chukwuma Okorafor, and James Daniels.
Spoken like a true high school center.
But he's right.
But no, you're right. I mean,
Without question.
They did their jobs. I wish I had done the white hot take of Dan Moore shuts down Myles Garrett, because that's basically
what
happened.
If you shut down Myles Garrett and you're actually opening up holes in the running game,
and they didn't have Jadeveon Clowney,
you got to score more than 17 points.
Is that not the most pathetic thing about this? You and I fell victim to it briefly on Twitter, Pony. We're watching them score 14 in the first half, acting like it's, you know what I mean? Like it's the second coming of the greatest show on turf, because we've been so starved for anything resembling competence, and then they turned right back into a pumpkin.
I'm looking at a text from someone that says, relax on the offense. They've scored more points in every game. They're getting incrementally better. Shut the F up, please. I don't know who you are. This is an anonymous gray face.
Hey, Mike, thanks for texting into the show. We appreciate you listening.
4-1. It's going to be one of those days.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Starts with stopping that run. We're not stopping the run. We're not putting them in third and long, putting them in tough situations, and allowing our rushers to rush. We're missing, you know, one of our best rushers, one of the best rushers in the league. So that plays a part in it. But we still got to find a way to stop the run.
Yeah, more of the last part, Minkah Fitzpatrick. I get it. Watch out. It's a tall order. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, two-headed monster, great offensive line. But at the end of the day, you still are facing a backup quarterback.
Well, I think that kind of worked in the Browns' favor. I said that on Twitter before the game started in my prediction, predicting that they would win, but not cover, but more on that, I don't know, later. I said they know what they are because they know they're not a passing team with Jacoby Brissett, and so they're just going to commit to running the ball in a way they never did with Mayfield and won't do once Watson gets back, and it worked for them. You know what the other thing is I don't like about saying, like, the people who would make excuses for some of the Steelers' second-half woes on defense, Pony? It isn't like the Browns failed to move the ball in the first half when presumably said defense would have been fresher. Drives of 60, 79, and 57 yards, they were moving it. They were having no problems going up and down the field when the defense would have been having a little bit better time of things legs-wise.
Cam Hayward. He's been a great Steeler. He's one of the best Steelers of this generation. I just can't accept that because he's double-teamed, that explains the lack of production. Cam Hayward, rightfully, has wanted to be included in the Aaron Donald conversation for years. So if that's how I know that's how Cam thinks. You believe you should be in that rarefied air? If that's who you want to be included with in a conversation about the best defensive lineman, you can't let two guys stop you from not making an impact on the game. And I would write it off and say, well, it's the Browns and they have a good line. But the same thing happened against a rookie last week without Watt. So those are the guys you're paying the big bucks to, and with Watt out, they've got to be better. That also goes for the coaching staff. Who's calling the plays? Come on. If it's still Tomlin, what are we doing here? Let Flores take over. I'd trust him before I did Austin. But you've got so much money and so much invested in your defense. He is a great, great, great player.
Play caller.
No, I'm talking about Watt.
Oh.
He's a great, great, great player, but again, one guy being out can't ruin the whole defense, man.
I don't think it does for other teams. Other teams that are thought of as good defensively lose a guy, maybe comparable to Watt within their own scheme. And look, I mean, seriously, look at the Browns. Their defense bowed their backs without Clowney, who's not Watt, but he's probably what
they're
top three guy.
Well, that's because they had the great
guy.
Fortune of facing Matt Canada and Mitch Trubisky, Malzi.
An offense that stops itself.
Paul is on the fan. Hello, Paul. We want to hear from our listeners today. Let's go, Paul. What do you got for us? Hey, man.
Hey, I called the other day. We still got the same issue. We're starting the wrong running back. He still wants to dance instead of hitting the holes. I don't think it's the offensive coordinator. I still think we got issues with our D-backs,
So they're playing the wrong running back, and that has nothing to do with the offensive coordinator. He has no control or power over which running back goes on the field.
When you have a threat to throw the ball downfield, it opens up the running game. And if you look and you watch the tape there.
Well, right. So how does that have nothing to do with the offensive coordinator? I don't know. Thank you, Paul. I'm in a very argumentative mood. I'm sorry. I don't want to. I'm not going to take it out on you, Chris, or Donnie.
Is today a day ending in Y?
I just don't.
You can take it out on me. My whole job is to argue with you, but we're on the same side of this. Look, they are, by the way, starting the wrong running back. Jaylen Warren looked better, even though Harris had his best game.
And he put Piggy on the ground.
Fine, but he looks more explosive. Yes, I'm very proud of Najee Harris for absolutely obliterating John Johnson at the goal line and flexing. Jaylen Warren looks still
the more
explosive guy.
And then flipping a guy in pass protection.
Yes.
He did not have a bad game.
No,
he looked closer to being a first-round pick last night.
Jaylen Warren looked better than him, though.
But when you say they're playing the wrong running back, the offensive coordinator is fine.
I didn't say that part of
it. He did. Paul did. That's where the conversation dies on the vine for me. Here's Anthony on the fan. Hello, Anthony.
Fellas, you know, I am a Tomlin fan up until what I heard yesterday. And now I'm leaving that ship. He's insulting our intelligence now. There is a problem there. And here's how part of it could be solved. You take the duties away from Canada. He has to stay here this year. But you bring in a good friend of yours, Jim Caldwell, who used to work with you in Tampa. He knows quarterback. He knows offense. You make him a senior consultant to straighten this thing out. Because for the first time in Tomlin's tenure, he's going to lose this locker room if there's not any changes. We've never seen this many players chirp like this.
Yeah, I would. You know what? I agree with that call start to finish. Jim Caldwell's a damn good offensive mind and a guy who's gotten jobbed numerous times for head coaching jobs.
He won't do it, though.
I know, but I would bring him in a heartbeat.
I don't.
In a heartbeat.
So, sure. I mean, I take no umbrage, or I have no issue with what Anthony said. It's probably not all that far-fetched either, because if Tomlin...
I thought you meant Caldwell wouldn't do it at first.
No, I don't think Tomlin would.
No, you're right. Well, because that would be admitting he screwed up.
Right.
I'll go back. I think the thing I've said this week that's the most correct so far is this, and I'll just reiterate it.
Among the many things.
I do say a lot of correct stuff, even if people don't want to hear it. That's kind of been a career theme. I'm not backing.
God, all of us are in a feisty mood today.
I'm not backing off that.
Look at what the Steelers have done to us.
I'm not backing off that statement. Mike Tomlin, when he got here, he was a defensive guy.
Everyone's snippy.
He had to play second fiddle to Dick LeBeau. When they had a number one defense the last time they won the Super Bowl, Dick LeBeau's. When they got to a Super Bowl with a number one defense, that was Dick LeBeau. He finally takes over. Then it becomes an offensive team. It's Ben Roethlisberger's team. This is the first year in Mike Tomlin's career, truly. Not even 2019 gets the same shine, where Mike Tomlin is the man. And so Mike Tomlin wants to do it his way because there's nobody who's going to stand in his way the quarterback would or the way the old defensive coordinator would.
And he's hitched his wagon to Matt Canada and Mitch Trubisky.
Why? Because they're both lesser lights, and he wants to prove that he can win with those two guys as the focal points of his offense.
Chris is next. Hello, Chris. Chris, you're on the radio.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey, man.
So the people who have been ripping Tomlin for the last 5 years are now suddenly a little smarter. The beatdown against Jacksonville in the playoffs should have tipped people off that Mike really isn't that great a coach. He's a great speaker. He's an affable guy, blah, blah, blah. And it ain't just him. It's the Rooneys, too. The Steelers need a complete redo. And I think the Rooneys no longer rely on football as their source of a livelihood. If the Steelers and the NFL disappeared from the face of the earth tomorrow, the Rooneys would be rich for another 10 generations.
Art Rooney has not caught nearly enough flack, Chris, for being the guy who sets the standard of just make the playoffs. Hey, we won an AFC North title, or hey, we qualified for the postseason. Tomlin obviously gets deserved flack for that, although it's usually the national media that points out, hey, he's never had a losing season, whatever. Art Rooney's the guy who has gone on record and said, hey, come on, our fans might not be happy, but we won a division. That's tough. That was after the year that they literally looked like the worst 12-4 team in history by the end of the season. The owner absolutely bears some culpability for this. Why isn't Art Rooney, as an owner behind closed doors, saying to Mike Tomlin, hey, Mike, You want to hire Matt Canada, but now elevate him. The guy has no track record. We're the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why are we hiring a guy and then promoting him?
I think any time, not only does the person that gets hired have such a paper-thin resume, but then the process in which you hire him is cause for concern. He is on the staff. There's all kinds of rumors about how it's a fait accompli that he's just going to get promoted. Mm-hmm. And you just bring in people to interview to be the offensive coordinator just because it checks boxes and it's part of the process. You can't just hand it over. The NFL makes you do certain hiring practices before you just hire someone, which I never understood that. Tomlin should, more than any other coach in the NFL, currently, in my opinion, he might go into something with a preconceived notion like, I like Matt Canada. But he shouldn't just bake on that because he got his start as a head coach because the Rooneys thought one thing initially and then he blew them away.
Yeah, he dispelled their preconceived notions.
He should have gone into his offensive coordinator search with the same open mind.
If somebody blows me away and Matt Canada doesn't, I'm going to hire them.
A handshake deal with the guy, Chris.
I know. How many hires have they made? So Flores was obviously a surprise hire. He claims that he had other job offers too and he wanted the Steelers. Fine. Other than Flores, since Mike Tomlin took over, name for me like one truly stunning hire they've made where you went, holy crap.
Mike Munchak.
That's it. I was waiting for you to say it. I was teeing you up, but that's it. And that was a wild, I give you a hard time about it. That was a wildly successful time for their offensive line and their running game, frankly, because Munchak stood in there and coordinated that. And you know what else I think Munchak served as a little bit? Because he was a Hall of Fame player. I think that was a Ben buffer. Roethlisberger wasn't going to look down on this guy because he had played the game at a very high level, and so he commanded a certain respect.
How is it that Mike Tomlin isn't like Andy Reid or Bill Belichick or Sean McVay or Nick Saban, where when somebody gets fired, they are just dying to be like, somebody is willing to take a step back as far as title or job because they just want to be a part of the Mike Tomlin coaching staff.
Because if you're going to be there, you're going to succeed. You're going to have some shine put on you.
Now, you could say that, you know, that's true of Flores. But
that's it. So that's it. Well, Mike Tomlin shows no interest in being that kind of guy. Like, the problem with it, for Andy Reid, it's like, why hasn't Eric Bieniemy gotten a head coaching job? For Mike Tomlin, it's why aren't there Eric Bieniemys on his staff ever?
Here's Chick on the fan. Hello, Chick.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for taking the call.
You
love
bet.
The show. Watch the stream every day.
Thanks, man.
Cannot? Yeah, you bet. Calling from Missoula, Montana. I cannot disagree with one thing I have heard from you guys today. I think you have to start with the offense. We don't put up points. And in the NFL, you can't win without putting up points. And the last point that I'll make.
Well, the head coach, Chick, seems to think that if you don't turn the ball over, that's 90% of winning a football game, which is kind of funny to me. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last point I'll make is what encapsulated the entire game, maybe even the entire season so far, was the last Keystone Cops play of the game. Where we toss it around, play hot potato, and give up a doggone touchdown.
Did you have smells like somebody who had money on under 45 and a half.
I don't
right
know
there.
If in Montana you can bet legally yet.
Man,
I know in the bunkhouse you can with
certain fellas. Man, that's a state I would want to visit.
You know, I'm gonna
old Big Sky country.
Let me just throw this out there because we're gonna take a lot of calls because I do want to hear from Steelers fans and hear them tell me
just
what
vent.
They think of
vent.
What's happened here the last couple of weeks and the state of the team. I am more than okay with hearing from people if they think we're being too hard on them. If you actually think that Tomlin's right, that like patience is the way to go, and if you want to stick up for Canada or Trubisky or the defense or whatever, like, you do have a platform to do that. And I just wonder how many people want to take that opportunity. Let me just finish this, Chris. I think sometimes fans, like, they do want to stick up for their team. Sometimes fans feel like I'm gonna rally around my team or my guy or my coach or my quarterback or my owner or whatever. So if somebody wants to do that, you've got phone lines here at 412-928-9370. And I'm just interested in how many people we'll take that tack.
You ever heard of the rookie? You ever heard of Ryan Pickett? Mm. And he's just, I think he's fed up.
Kirk Herbstreit. Ever heard of Ryan Pickett? Of course Herbie has, because Ryan Pickett played at Ohio State. So.
He
had the Buckeyes on the mind, as per usual, while he's calling an NFL game and commenting on a guy that finished third in the Heisman Trophy voting last year in college, Kenny Pickett. So,
you think Kirk Herbstreit is spread a little too thin now? Been pretty underwhelmed by him in this role.
He's asking Al Michaels, who's like a million years old, what he thinks of Tomlin's game management decisions and the elf at midfield. You're the analyst. Don't put it on the guy who said, do you believe in miracles? Yes. You're getting paid millions of dollars to give us your opinion, Kirk, not the other way around. Al ask the questions.
He's doing Thursday night football, then he's going to college game day, then he's doing the big college game.
He does not see that young rookie come in here. Kenny Powers.
Tony Gonzalez.
Kenny Pickett getting a lot of disrespect there.
Kenny Powers.
I mean, I'd rather be compared to Kenny Powers than Ryan Pickett.
That show's still on, Eastbound and Down.
That was a great one, though.
It burned fast and bright.
How about that actor?
Yeah,
that was
Danny McBride.
So
he's on Vice Principals, wasn't he? With
and then
Walton
he has
Goggins.
Another one called The Righteous Gemstones.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too.
Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.